Welcome back to Three Black Docs with Dr. Tiffany, Dr. Karen, and Dr. Zanetta.
There are some people who always, you know, be workaholics, but this whole work till you die, no, that's not happening. And then this generation, these two generations under us, that's not happening. So it is not happening.
And she's like, Mom, let me see your bank account. Okay, I'm good. She's right. Like, I'm good.
I mean, they not even trying to make all the money. Right. I saw something today where like they were these what are they, Gen Zers? Are
what
like
now? I don't know.
So it was Millennial X, no, Millennial Z, right? Isn't it Z? I don't know. But they're selling thrift clothes, like making money selling secondhand clothes. Like this is where they are right now. So yeah, I mean, the interesting thing to me is that some of the people who are like working themselves to death, at the end, what do you have to show for it? Because one of the benefits that I have in Florida is that I heard someone say, like where I live, there are a lot of previously important people.
I love it.
Hips. And it's previously important people, movers and shakers of the world. You know what? You retire. And I had someone tell me this week in clinic, he said, there's one thing I want to tell you. And I said, okay. And he said, retire early.
Yes. Yeah.
And that I just was not expecting that. I was not expecting it. And when I say that hit me in my soul, it hit me right in my soul.
Oh, that is awesome.
So, you know, it's just for what? And, you know, why are you working that hard? And you're just making it miserable for everybody else. You're not being efficient. But that's the expectation. And I also think that, you know, as Black people, you know, we're always taught you got to work twice as hard and do this and do. We gotta calm down.
I'm sorry. That narrative is so freaking damaging.
It is damaging.
Just bury it already, for God's sake.
Well,
I think we have to and all of that stuff. Thank you, Ashley. I get it.
Yes.
I know. But seriously, like, I mean, this is killing us.
Literally
killing us, and especially Black women. This whole notion that you got to work twice as hard and be twice as good as everybody else, and you can't make a mistake because you don't have any room to make a mistake. And it may be true.
There's some truth to it. Now there's some
truth in that.
You can't be making big mistakes. Now can't be making big mistakes.
But I mean, like, is it worth it to hold on to the position or the job? I don't know. We run ourselves into the ground with this narrative, and also there's that feeling of you're never good enough, right?
Yes.
You're just never good enough, and we tell that to ourselves.
Yes, and that's different. So we internalize. So I think there is the reality that in order to get to certain levels that Black people and Black women had to work harder. Like, you know, the fact that, you know, I could be in a boardroom or I could be in a room and have and say and make a statement and have nobody acknowledge, but then yet a man or white man can say the same exact thing and all of a sudden it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Is that internalizing or is that external, like non-validation that's telling you?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I think that's one thing. That's one thing is the external, but to Tiffany's point, there's the internalization of that, right, where that you start having that tape that plays in your head that I'm not good enough. So part of what needs to happen, and I think what has started to happen, is people kind of rallying around each other, and Black women in particular, and saying, no, we are good enough and we're better than, and therefore, you know, we can be our queens. Although I've also seen where there's been just the opposite, where we have, you know, women who are tearing other women down.
But that's what I was going to say. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead. I didn't mean
No, go ahead. What were you going to say? No, please.
That you were saying, but I think that goes back to your first point a while back, which was also the people around you, right? In the community around you, and you get that same message, that same trauma reverberated back, right? And so oftentimes, and a lot of times, it's other women who tear other women down because operating off that same narrative.
Right. But I think that's the internalization of all of that. And that gets reflected in how we then interact with other people. It's kind of like, you know, again, trauma. You have someone who comes home, gets kicked at work, and then the dad comes home and kicks the dog, and then the dog bites the kid. That all gets propagated down the line. And so my expectation is that that will be decreased, although we still need to change the overall narrative. It goes back to what we first started talking about, right? What are we going to do about Juneteenth? And what is the real thing that needs to happen? What are the real things that need to happen? Like, are you kidding me? If there's two CVs sitting in front of you and you've got, you know, Keisha and John Smith, like, really? But they look exactly the same. Well, we know that what happens. And so I do think that there needs to be some way to help relieve some of that pressure. And we have the four of us, frankly, because Ashley looked him up too. But we have the luxury of saying, you know what? I'm not putting up with that, right? We have the luxury to say, I'm only going to allow for this to happen. Or, you know, I can't take it anymore, so I'm going to step back.
Right.
There are some people who can't do that.
You can't.
So that makes it hard.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but I, you know, it's going to be fascinating, I think, over the next couple of years to figure all this stuff out. So I think, you know, it would be wonderful to think of ways to uplift each other. I do think that some of that, again, is vestiges, the old way of doing things. I do wonder if there are some ways to really help to change the narrative of how institutions, Black institutions, think of themselves. But I think they need to have a fresh new look at what the potential of an HBCU is in this day.
Especially now.
Yes, now
especially
is the time.
Now is the time, because the momentum is there.
It is. But if you have the same people who are leading, it's not going to be different.
Right.
And that's an unfortunate. That would be an unfortunate outcome.
And then also, they have been doing so much with nothing for so long that I even kind of wonder how they will think when there is abundance. Because I think people are willing now to give. They're looking. And even alumni, historically, alumni from HBCUs never really gave because they're trying to help everybody else out. And the poor alma mater didn't get anything. But I think people are really looking. So, I agree.
Yes. And actually, it's already been great because there has been the campaign. And there's
I saw the campaign and I was like, look at this.
It's been wonderful. Yeah, it's been great. But that's my big concern. Yeah. It's like, so now what are you going to do? And are we going to blow this opportunity because we're not putting things in place and doing things properly in the right order?
And planning for the future.
Planning.
You got to plan this moment of abundance won't be here forever.
Right.
So you have to invest wisely.
Invest wisely, be good stewards of. It's going to be interesting. I'm need to withhold judgment, which, you know, is a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying very hard.
I saw the way you took your glasses off and put that in your mouth.
Learner mode, because my eyeballs are popping out my head, maybe touching the glass. Yeah, it's, I'm learning a lot. Learn a lot about myself. I'm telling you, these leadership changes, you learn so much about yourself when you kind of, put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Welcome. So.
I started working out in the mornings.
Oh, that'll wear you out.
Big. I'm telling you, mind chatter, because for my entire life, I'm like, I can't work out in the mornings. I can't.
Right. Did you hear me? I was like, oh, that's big.
I can't. And this last week, we were going for runs on the beach at like 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Before it got too hot. And now this week I've been doing my workouts in the like first thing in the morning, before I eat.
Great. Oh, wow.
That's like a habit of successful people. That's awesome. Love it's it.
Been, wow. You like a Marine.
But it puts you to sleep real early. I've been in bed at 9:30.
Yeah, you probably been sleeping through the night though.
I was gonna say, are you sleeping?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. That's perfect.
Yeah.
They taught me about sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
Lifestyle.
You can't work out right before you go to bed.
You really can. What was I thinking?
Right lifestyle. I love it. Good for you.
No, I've been sleeping like a rock. But bed by like nine.
Well, go and get your beauty rest.
Yes, I love it.
Here, make sure you rate and subscribe. Three Black Docs is available wherever you get your podcasts. Docs is not intended as medical advice. All opinions are our own. Three Black Docs is produced by Winx Productions.